The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 1 to 19. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And they said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? What a surprising question. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is none risen greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, those who now come to Christ, they must hurry and press in, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if he will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. That whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. But John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. The Lord, adds his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Who is John the Baptist? He is a chosen vessel appointed of God to be the herald of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was born 6 months before Jesus. His mother was Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. He is called the greatest of the prophets. He is the Elijah who is to come predicted. He is the one who, after preaching repentance to all the Jews and the scribes and Pharisees, then pointed, when Jesus Christ came along, that He is the one, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He had the honor of introducing the Savior to the world. And therefore, He is the greatest. But why does Jesus say that he who is the least, the smallest in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he? Well, it came about when John the Baptist was put into prison by King Herod because he pointed out the king's bad deed, and he was very displeased, and he would have soon beheaded him under such great pressure in the prison, hoping that Jesus would come and save him. But Jesus did not. Why didn't Jesus save him? It is the will of God. Why doesn't Jesus help you now? Maybe he wants you to learn a lesson from your bitter experience. Our life is all in God's hands, and he appoints us to go through each experience. So John the Baptist was very discouraged. If you are the Messiah, you should have saved me. I'm your herald. So the two disciples returned the words of Jesus. Are you truly the Messiah? And he said, well, what do you hear of me? All the sick people, dead people, those possessed with devils, lepers, I have healed them all and saved them. What happens to John the Baptist happens with the greatest saints. And one of them of recent history is none other than Wang Mingtao. He is China's number one saint, acknowledged. In the 50s, after the communists in China came to power, they went after all the leaders. And Wang Mingtao was one of them who had to answer questions. And they brainwashed them. They used all kinds of methods to get them off the mind, to become giddy, to become not able to think properly. And under their brainwashing and pressure, Wang Mingtao was made to sign a statement tantamount to saying that he denied our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he came to himself, he realized what a terrible thing he had done. So he went back to the police station to recant his mistake. He said, I am like Peter who denied the Lord, and now I deny this. So when he went back to own up the Lord, they put him into life imprisonment. But he was let out after 23 years, and his wife was sentenced to 15 years. Here we learn a great lesson. We must pray for our church leaders. They are the center of attack. They are the very ones the devil would get them down. And so, maybe the people did not pray for Wang Mingtao. On the other hand, we can also draw a lot of encouragement and inspiration from the heroes of church history. And one of the earliest, he would be called a spiritual grandson of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the pupil of the Apostle John. His name is called Polycarp. A rather strange name to our hearing. Now, Polycarp means many fruits. He was a bishop of Smyrna, the persecuted church. And he was arrested by the authorities for not worshipping Caesar. There was the emperor worship. And the magistrate said to him, if you recant and just say a word to curse Christ, you'll be let free. But the old bishop quietly replied, 86 years have I served Jesus Christ, my Lord and King. How can I now deny him? And because of his refusal to bend to the official threat, he was burned alive at the stake. We must not only pray for our church leaders. We must pray for one another, because all Christians are liable to persecution. Even pray for the children, that they may stand firm for the faith. You have heard me tell you about the Boxer Rebellion 1900 in North China, and how 185 missionaries were beheaded by the governor of Shantung. Together with the missionaries, there were not a few children. And the wonderful thing is that though small they were, they did not cry, but knelt down beside their parents to be beheaded. Their dignity and their bravery touched the hearts of all the bystanders. And I am very assured that the fruit that they bore in the dead exceeded much more than the fruit they bore during their lifetime. And so, let us remember, days of persecution may come. We do not know. But we must all pray for one another, that we may stand firm in the faith. Now, how is it that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist? There are three areas we can interpret this. First is morally. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven may refer to just a simple woman with not much education, but once she has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given her whole heart to him. Under any circumstances, she will not budge. But poor John the Baptist, about to be executed, must have got frightened. And so he doubted Jesus. This is also reflected in Peter, the chief apostle. At the arrest of Jesus Christ, he was confronted by a girl of the high priest in the courtyard. And while he was trying to get some warmth from the fire, she said, are you not one of the followers of Jesus? You speak the same language, Galilean? No, I do not know him. He saw that he did not know Jesus. So great leaders can become the least and the least in the kingdom of heaven that are resolute, fully trusting, can overtake the highest church leader. Secondly, and thirdly, positionally and theologically. Positionally, you must realize that John the Baptist was taken away quite early in the ministry of Jesus, and he baptized Jesus. He knew that he is the appointed Savior, but he is on this side of the cross, and he could preach only the message of repentance. But he did not know about the power of the sufferings of Christ, his death on the cross, and the power of his resurrection, positionally and theologically. He stands on this side, and here's the cross, and this is a resurrection, and we stand on this side. Those that are in the kingdom of heaven who have followed Jesus Christ to the very end, then have been given the power of his suffering and his resurrection, which was manifested at the time of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And then 3,000 repented and believed. Then there was a special manifestation of the power of God in the speaking of languages. Tongues are foreign languages. Why foreign languages? That all of them can understand the message of salvation, because many people came from many parts of the world, 16 nations at least. Therefore, when the Apostle Paul came to Ephesus, according to chapter 19 of Acts, he met 12 of the converts of John the Baptist. And he asked them, "Do you know the Holy Spirit?" And they were confounded and said, "We have never heard of the Holy Spirit at all." The Holy Spirit is connected with the sufferings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if Christ did not rise from the dead, the Holy Spirit cannot manifest his power. And so, Paul gave them the full gospel. And when he examined them, he said, "Well, we did not know about Jesus' death or resurrection." They heard John, and then they left the country and they came to Ephesus. So when they received the fullness of the gospel, when you receive the fullness of the gospel, we are preaching the fullness of the gospel to you every Sunday, then they were marvelously saved when baptized in the name of Jesus. Of course, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they spoke in tongues. And they prophesied. Well, we had the same experience. I never heard of the Holy Spirit much. I did hear, but no idea who is the Holy Spirit. But when Dr. John Sung came to Singapore in a Singapore Pentecost, we were gloriously saved and we were born again and we were filled with the Holy Spirit. This you can speak from experience to the charismatics. I said, "You people don't know what is the Holy Spirit power." We were, as it were, kept under, though we know about Jesus. But the Jesus doctrine we heard was more or less ethics, doing our best. Let every preacher from this pulpit always preach Christ and him crucified, as Paul said to the Corinthians, "I knew nothing but Christ and him crucified." And never before we heard that Christ can forgive us all our sins. He died on the cross. This is the only way, not your tears of repentance, but Christ who died for you. But have you received Him? And I was so happy. We sang in the cross, all my sins are washed away. When we sing that, we felt there was an actual cleansing of sin in our heart, and then we were filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are so daring. First of all, you pray very fervently. Not like our Tuesday night prayer meeting, we pray, but not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because it pleased God to outpour the Holy Spirit at that time. Yet, of course, we must pray. Then we are bold as lions. Johnson gave us all a flag to carry. A triangular flag with the cross of Jesus Christ. And he went out to street meetings at the corner of Geylang or at the corner of some market square. We spread our gospel posters, and then we stood together to sing gospel songs to attract them to come. And we displayed our flag. And the police did not come to ask, "What is all this?" They left us alone. We are bold as lions. And I pray that you, having heard the full gospel here, may truly receive Christ in the hearts and have the same experience and the love of the Savior. But when God is working, Satan is working. So there came along a lot of these extraneous Christian witness, not full witness. And there was a movement from Oxford University called the Oxford Group. And my teacher, who is an eminent person and was running for the elections in those days, the Progressive Party, he introduced this Oxford Group movement. And it is a mutual confession of sins, but without the blood of Jesus Christ. And I, being one of his favorite students, naturally was attracted. And we began to confess our sins one to another. And at first, it seemed to work very well, and our hearts were happy that we have confessed our sins. But as time went on, it became a farce. And it did not tally with the Bible. And so I got out of it to return to the church where the fullness of the gospel is preached. Well, after the war, that was before the war. After the war, I met the same teacher and said, "Now we have improved and we are now called the Moral Rearmament Movement, and we try to bring good morality to all people, and every religion can join." Well, you can see once they leave the cross, they veer into many religions. In the same way, I strayed to join the Salvation Army. And the Salvation Army is well known throughout the world. They are a good organization socially. But it is a para-church organization started by William Booth. And he brought salvation to many poor people. His emphasis was correct up to a point. Again, he did not go into the fullness of the cross and the resurrection. And so when a person joins the Salvation Army, He must be baptized by fire. What sort of fire? They have a red flag. And when they accept Christ, they go to the front of the altar or the pulpit, and then they wave the red flag over you and say, "Now you are baptized by fire." But that's not in the Bible. And when you go off the teaching of the Bible, you fall into mistake. Baptism is a sign of the resurrection. We are now cleansed. And then we stand up. We are risen with Christ from the dead and from our sins. And the next thing they dispense with is the Lord's Supper. They don't have the Lord's Supper. But they do good. It's a social and semi-para church organization. So it became another fast to me. It's not like our church, so I returned to the church. And in the church, why is it the fullness of the gospel is given? We baptize those who are born again, who are saved. They are baptized with the Lord Jesus Christ and they rise again with Him. And after that they take the Lord's Supper, which is the remembrance of the death of Christ. In these two sacraments, the fullness of the gospel is given. And I like it if the church will indeed preach the whole counsel of God, like what my teacher in Nanking, in his book, called in the layman's language, the all-complete plan of salvation. We are giving you all the time the all-complete plan of salvation. Many churches don't give the fullness of the gospel, so they are saved, half lost. They do not know. And in the words of John Calvin, once saved, always saved. It is an all-complete plan of salvation. So it's a very important thing for the pastor of the church that he may not go sidetracked on social issues and on certain aspects of the church. If you stress on doing, following certain rules, you lose the power. You must always come back to the sufferings and death. You must come back to the cross and then to the resurrection to have the power of the gospel. In this respect, I'm very happy for more members, particularly from Calvary, they are coming to the evening classes of the Far Eastern Bible College. And those of our members who are teaching Sunday school, that they come and study. And now many more are coming to study for a certificate. At least they will have to take the exams, and after 20 hours of lectures, and one lecture of course will go 4 months. 1 hour, if they can attain to 20 credits, they get a cert. How can you teach Sunday school with just only 7 classes and say, "I finished my Sunday school teacher's training"? It's impossible. But if you come for 20 hours of training, teaching, take you 2 years to complete, because you come only once a week taking 2 hours. But there you are. You will have the fullness of the truth, fullness of the gospel taught, to have the all complete plan of salvation. We must not only pray for the church leaders, we must not only pray for one another and the little ones in time of persecution. We must work together, teachers and students, to learn the fullness of the gospel of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. This is the Pauline doctrine. That's why he corrected the 12 John the Baptist disciples, and they did not know anything except repentance. They did not know the sufferings and the death of our Lord, the cross, and the resurrection. And when he explained this to them and baptized them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, in foreign languages. We do not today, when they receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, because 1 Corinthians 13 says, and tongues shall cease. Those who are speaking in tongues today have their tongues taught by their pastors. But it is not in the Acts of the Apostles. If they have the tongues, they speak naturally. So it was a wonderful experience of Pentecostal baptism during the great Pentecost of Singapore. And we young people know, together with the older people, what Holy Spirit power is. If you challenge me, how is it you don't have that power as in those days? Well, we must also admit that it is the mercy and the sovereignty of God to give that power or not. But if he should give that power and everybody can heal, Jesus would lose his job. But as I said just now, Jesus is here. And if any one of you, like the woman who believed that if I touch his garment, I'll be well, he is here. If he is pleased, he will bless you. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist in that pre-crucifixion period, which is the teaching of John the Baptist merely to repent. But John the Baptist, for he is called lesser than the least in the kingdom of heaven, although he had wavered on his faith, thank God he was a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his preaching he said, he must increase, I must decrease. He never exalted himself, but always lifted up the Savior. And Jesus is happy for that saying. Why did God so bless Johnson in his ministry that several hundred thousands came to the Lord? Wang Mingtao, although the number one saint of China, he's a Calvinist, and he had very good doctrine, but he could never save so many people. One reason that he, above all others, exalted Jesus. Always point men, it is he and not me. True servants of the Lord Jesus always exalt the Lord. He would hide himself behind the cross. He'll never say anything to glorify himself. We have John the Baptist. We have got John Sung. And there is another John. He's called John Calvin, the greatest theologian whose writing of his theological masterpiece called The Institutes of the Christian Religion, that has gone through dozens of times of reprint. And his theology is being reprinted to this day. New printings all the time. He knew that the people revered him a lot. So before his death, he decreed
in his will. When I die, don't you put any big tablet for me, but give me a tablet, perhaps of 1 or 2 feet square. And all you can inscribe on my tombstone is J.C., John Calvin. And it must be a low one. In 1950, our council, the International Council of Christian Churches, to which our church belonged, went to Calvin's tomb to place a wreath. And we had a hard time finding the place because it's such a small tablet hidden in the corner. And we found it, J.C., John Calvin. All true servants of the Lord will be counted even the least of the least. They won't worry about the names and the powers of the world. They won't be worried about people getting all the honors. All they want to do is to exalt Jesus Christ. And Paul also sets us an example, and he said, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. And we are servants for his namesake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. This is a teaching also for the leaders of the church. When God has blessed you to speak his word and to get an audience, beware. Do not try to show off. And nowadays they have those who are teaching, we have evangelism is all right, but we have power evangelism. We are a special class. That's what John Wimber, one of the American leaders, preached in Sydney, in Australia in 1987. There is also the movement to ordain outstanding pastors, now called apostles. And one I mentioned last week, I mentioned a name again, is Lawrence Kong, a very famous man in Singapore in church circles. Calvin says that pastors are trained to take the place of the apostles, but they are not apostles. Pastors are trained to lead the church that it may go on correctly, smoothly, and progressively. But only 12 apostles. They were special men, they were given special powers to do miracles, and they wrote the scriptures. But today there are those in the church circles trying to promote one another, by which they exalt them above the Lord Jesus Christ. It is like the donkey. Instead of being ridden by Christ, you want to ride Jesus. There was a tauke who had a pet, a poodle, that he always fondles on his laps. And the donkey saw that he was always neglected. One day thought, the best thing is I'll go and sit on my master's lap. Of course, he got a double thrashing. Those who want to exalt themselves are debased. For God resisted the proud. But not John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And if the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, how is Jesus Christ the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Of course, he is the greatest above all, not only John the Baptist. From here, let us all learn, the whole church, to exalt him and to follow him through to his death and resurrection. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, help us to be like John the Baptist in exalting Jesus Christ, but help us to stand firm for thee without wavering. We pray not only for the church leaders, but for one and all, that in times of persecution, we may all stand faithful to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.